Well, welcome to the graveyard shift. And we know that it's really never been harder than it is right now to be a funeral director and a funeral professional. So we are here today to provide you with some ideas and inspiration on improving your funeral home's operations and helping you connect with more families. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Passari. So my name is Todd Carlson, and I'm the Chief Sales Officer with Directors Investment Group, which includes companies such as Passari, Funeral Directors Life, and ClaimCheck. And again, this is our 17th episode, and our cast of characters continues to return. And as they've done today, they drag their friends with them. And I would question the value of that friendship at that moment, at this moment, but that's Nadira's call. But today with us, we've got Matt Bailey with Bailey Family Funeral Homes in Connecticut. We've got Gary Freitag at Spring Grove in Cincinnati. And of course, Jimmy Lucas from Lucas Funerals and Cremations in Fort Worth. And our special guest today is Nadira Badalianege.
Very good. How did I
do? All right. Well, Nadira, we are. Yes. Well, thank you. So hey, just before we jump in, Nadira, I just want to remind our listeners and our viewers to make sure that if they have questions, comments, thoughts, ideas, to send those to thegraveyardshift@passari.com. And we'll be happy to take a look at those. And if they have complaints, Nadira, what we're going to do is send those all to Gary this week because he's the perfect guy to thoughtfully and respectfully and caringly solve a problem.
Oh, he's so sensitive.
I'm ignoring.
All right. So, Nadira, you know, today we're going to be visiting about the importance of continuing to grow as a funeral professional. And we would love to hear your thoughts about how ICCFA is working to bring some of these really cutting edge and experiential learning experiences to the funeral service community. So, but first, Nadira, just a reminder, this is Gary's fault. You know, he roped you into this, but he just, when we started talking about guests back several months ago, he's like, we've got to get Nadira on this podcast. So again, I'll see if you want to send a complaint, you have Gary's email address.
Right? I do.
So Nadira, please tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into funeral service.
My name is Nadira Badalianege, for our viewers who don't know me. As we had talked, Todd, my background is in finance, but my journey here in the United States began in my early 20s, and I landed in Southern California for a while, and then met my husband, and we moved to the East Coast. And we were newly married. I didn't know anybody, and we had one car. He was doing network security at the White House, and I just couldn't just sit still. So there was a local newspaper called the Reston Connector, and there was this tiny little ad that said, a trade association looking for part-time help. And I am not sure why I looked at that. It didn't say about our profession or, you know, anything what the job was like. And I'm like, wow. But I could walk, so that was the game changer. We had only one car, so I could walk there. So I thought, okay, I'll apply. So I applied, and they called me in for an interview at 7 p.m. at night. All the lights were off, and, you know, my husband sat at the downstairs in the parking lot, and I go up, and, you know, I had this interview with two gentlemen, both who are not here right now with the association, but both, one was my boss for many years, and I learned about what the association, the trade association, was about. They said their members are cemeteries and funeral homes. And I come from a mortgage banking background. So I don't need to tell you guys what my face. And, you know, the lights were off. I was totally freaked out. But then I thought about it and I was like, okay, so we interviewed. They never looked at, you know, they didn't ask me much about my skill set, except said, you're highly overqualified for this job. But we'll let you know. So no cell phones. So by the time we got home, which was about a mile and a half from the Reston offices, I had a voicemail saying, hey, we can't offer you much, but if you'd like as a temp to start cleaning our database, we can pay you $7.50 an hour. The job is yours. So I was like, wow. Anyway, I thought about it a lot and I took it. So I took it. It was it, the association, you know, did a lot of different things at the time. I love the people I worked with. Within 2 weeks, my boss put me on a plane to run a convention registration in Orlando. I didn't even know what a convention was. So I've just finished 29 years this March, and here I am. So that's how I got in by accident to work at this association.
What a story. I love hearing people's stories about how they got into funeral service.
Let's talk about the $750 an hour that you were offered.
$750. Yeah, right. Well, that was what it was. I remember my boss saying, Jimmy, that's all we could do. And this huge database, which was, oh my God, had duplicates of everybody in there numerous times, and this tedious job that I had to clean it up. So when somebody told me, get on a plane, go to Orlando and run registration, I'm like, I'm there.
Well, you're honestly, that's how we all got into funeral service, $7.50 an hour. I think that's across.
That's awesome. For my dad?
Yeah, work for my dad. $2 an hour. Go ahead.
Gosh, I think I made less than that in my first funeral service job as a night attendant. Yeah. I would have been happy. I'd have been thrilled at $7.50 an hour. So, but I, you know, even with inflation, I still think I was, anyways, long story there. Hey, so Nadira, you know, one thing, and during our last visit, I was really impacted by your very deeply moving experience that you had personally a few years ago. And by the way, thanks for agreeing to, you know, to be open about this, because I think, that'll become self-evident here. But, you know, I think sometimes our listeners just need a reminder about how important the work is that they do. So would you please share a little bit about what you shared with me, and what really took me off guard is you literally, I think if this is a direct quote, you said the people in this business or in this profession saved me.
They did.
Can we hear your story, please?
Yes. So in 2019, just crazy, unexpected life events, my son, our firstborn son, graduating from UVA, going to med school in the fall, went on spring break and never came home. He went to Puerto Rico, wrong place, wrong time. He passed at 21 and he wasn't sick. He was, you know, we were not prepared. In some ways, I remember the moment I heard that with every detail, but the year following was an absolute blur. I have no idea how I even functioned. He was one of the greatest loves of my life. I had a very special relationship with Rehan. He just would have been 28 on August 18th. And some days I was telling Todd I can talk about him and hold it together. And other days, you know, the pain is raw. But I do believe that many years ago, in that strange way that I found my way to ICCFA, maybe there was some kind of plan in the universe that I needed to be with all of you, who I can't tell you enough. They embraced me. They supported me, especially our immediate leadership team and the friends I have made in this profession for 29 years. So I wanted to give up. I mean, I couldn't function. I had no idea. I mean, I lost my faith for most part of it. I was raised in a conservative Catholic home, went to Catholic school all my life. And I believe that if you were a decent person and you put good into this universe, that somehow the people you loved were going to be taken care of, right? I mean, that's what I believed. So we lost Rehan, and it was just negligence on the part of the hospital. You know, I don't want to get into all of that, but there begin my journey into this grief. And I can tell you it doesn't end. It you carry that grief with you. And I think it's different. I also lost my father and I was very sad, but he lived a beautiful life till he was 85. But when you lose a child, and when that child was not ill, or you know, it was so sudden, there is nothing that ever prepared me for it. So for the first year, I just remained numb. And I remember Jay Dodds was the current president. He came to town and he talked to me and he said, you do whatever you want to do. You take as long as you want to, but we are not letting you quit. You know, you've carried us for so long and we are going to stand by you. And there began this, my journey into realizing what wonderful people you all are and what you do every day. I already had huge respect for that because I always wanted purpose in my life. I wanted to make a difference. And this made me realize that there was a reason I found my way here. And from that moment on, Todd, I have had support from the leadership, from my team here at ICCFA, and all my friends that I have made over 29 years, you know, just the checking ins, the text messages. And here's the thing about grief. I don't know why we don't want to talk about it or don't think that if we talk about it, we are reminded of that person we lost. Well, we are never going to forget. I think the fear is that you will forget that he lived, he or she lived. And so you need to talk about it. So I learned all these things and I experienced the service. I was able to go to people who embraced me. So we had different steps as well, right? He passed in another, you know, a territory of the US, which had different rules. I had all these people from who helped us bring him back home, who took care of him here. He had, you know, we re-prepared because time had lapsed and I just couldn't stand to see my son the way he looked when I said goodbye to him. So, you know, that's a big part of why I love what I do. I feel we are here for a very short time on this earth and to help people. And that's what you all do. And I, running this association, that's what keeps me going, that I support all of you. So that's my journey.
All right, Nadir, thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and Nadira, you might want to, maybe this is a good time to mention the scholarship that you started.
Yes. So this was actually his friends. So Rehan made a huge impact for 21 years. I have no idea how this all happened. He was different. I knew that from this time he was, I have two sons and definitely, they have each, Roshan has grown up to be his own young man right now, but they are 5 years apart. So this was huge on his brother. They were tight. They were best friends. So when Rehan, he used to call me almost every day from UVA and I used to say, how are you doing? And he would say, Ma, I'm living the dream because Dad and you have made that possible. That was his thing. I'm living the dream. And he used to tell me how so many folks that come, young women and men who come to UVA, it's a huge cost now, higher education, different topic. But, and he said, it's amazing that my immigrant parents are able to support me 100% in everything. We paid for everything. We saved from the day they were born so that they can go to any place they wanted to go. And so he said, one day when I leave UVA and he wanted to be a doctor since he was six, and that was his goal. He said he wanted to create a scholarship to help a fourth-year biomedical engineering student and give some kind of financial support. So the first year after we lost Rehan, it was not easy. And then, but his friends, his girlfriend, we all got together, and they've created a scholarship, and we've given out five now. And it's grown. UVA manages it. And, you know, Rehan's story is at rehanlivingthedream.com. And so it's supported by our friends, family, and colleagues, but we invest it. UVA invests it and we give. And it's grown to about 7,000 a year that we can give. It started with like 1,000.
Oh,
and
wow.
So twice a year, all of these friends of his meet up. Once we do something in March when we lost him, and then in the April, May time frame, they all come back to the gardens of Charlottesville to celebrate Rehan, and they pick the scholarship. Now our youngest son is very involved. That's how we keep his memory alive. So we do talk about them. They gather. These kids are committed, young adults now. They come from all over the world. So
amazing.
Yep.
Amazing. Well, thanks for sharing, Nadira. So we're going to take a little turning and move into your work at ICCFA. So Why don't you just share a little bit about, for our listeners who might not be as familiar with as others about ICCFA, why ICCFA even exists?
So ICCFA started as the ACA, the American Cemetery Association, and they were incorporated in the state of Michigan in 1887. So we are like 138 years old. And I believe the story goes as five cemeterians, actually grounds folks, got together to talk about challenges that they were facing. And from there, this association has grown. And that's what I love about ICCFA, that they're open and they're so progressive. And so we added funeral homes under our umbrella and we became the ICFA. And then subsequently, we added cremation, and now we are the ICCFA. And I'm so fortunate to have been here from the ICFA days to today. And we keep evolving and growing. And in short, our purpose or our mission is to help our members better serve the families and the, who come to them and their communities. And we do that with the advocacy work that we do on behalf of the whole profession. That's our number one benefit. And we provide cutting edge, I'd like to say, education. And we, you know, evolve and we are relevant. And we give the opportunity to folks to meet and network. And I'm sure, you know, most of you, Matt, you've been with us for a long time. You met some of your good friends, right? And Gary, through being a part of this ICCFA community. And that's just so rewarding that we are able to provide this platform to our members and even non-members. We open certain things to everybody in the profession because that's what we want to do.
Excellent. Well, I was just, and that's a great transition. I was going to ask Matt. Matt, you've had a lot of experience with ICCFA. What's ICCFA meant to you?
You know, I think it stands unique in that it crosses across so many different parts of our profession. So, you know, it's not just funeral directors, it's your crematories, it's your cemeterians as well. And there's different thoughts and problems and mindsets that come from those areas. And at times there's competitive interests in it as well. So, you know, there are funeral directors that are furious that cemeteries will offer vaults or merchandise. And there are cemeteries that are furious that funeral homes will try to open their doors on their property or, you know, whatever the, put a crematory in. I mean, there's all those different things that come into it. And I think it's good that it's a space where the association says, listen, we have to be here and advocate for all of our members. You know, no matter which ones they were, which, you know, could at times be scary for people that have a protectionist mindset and think that, you know, well, we can't allow this stuff to happen. So, and I think the thing for me too, which, I've appreciated in my time there is that it's not just one kind of operator. I mean, you have corporate operators, you have regional consolidators, you have publicly traded companies, you've got all of those as well as the independent sixth generation funeral director like myself, you know, who are in the same room. And there's a lot to learn from each other on that stuff. I mean, they're to sit and have those conversations with people that are a different kind of an operator. You know, someone like Gary and someone like me, where we have very different business models and ways of operation, and we still learn from each other. I mean, Gary was walking the floor one year at the convention and he needed to buy a cot cover or something like that. And I think he said, this is like sending your dog to Ralph's to try to go grocery shopping. He goes, I'm not a funeral director. I don't know what I'm doing. So I walked Gary around the floor and went shopping with him so he could figure out what the heck these items actually meant. So,
well, Jimmy's wondering if you put a leash on Gary when you walked him around.
No, I just hope Gary tether. Had his VPN on when he was Google searching.
It's not a, not a leash. It's a child safety tether. But I had the chance to serve on the board for a period of time. And really it was because I thought my fiduciary responsibility might allow me to file a complaint against Gary as president and have him marched out in handcuffs. But he was very ethical the entire time. I didn't see anything despite my best wishes to see something like that. Oh, except the jet we almost bought that year.
Yes. That was brilliant, Matt.
Oh, yeah. Way to start a rumor, Matt. Hey, so Nadira, One thing that I really in our prep work for this caught my interest was the new immersive learning experience that you're doing at your Fall Leadership Summit. So I'd love for you to share what you are working on and what you are going to unveil here just coming up here shortly.
Yes. So ICCFA, we actually wanted to lean into our mission and kind of change the education we offer and take it to another level. And it actually started with what we rebranded our annual convention to the ICCFA experience. And I have to tell you, there was a lot of preparing and it was a risk for us. You know, we've done traditional conventions forever and you go to all of these conventions, they look the same. And they, we had, you know, our immediate past president, Lee Longino, loves to change and shake things up. And so between him and John Bolton and a few others and the staff team, we came up with this experience. So we wanted to, I don't know, I know Gary was there. Matt, did you, were you able to attend this past convention? I'm not sure.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. So it became like a theme of a festival. That's what we wanted to have. So we had the exhibits, three stages where we would have different speakers in and out. We had a food court where there was specific times that people would, exhibitors and attendees could mingle. And, you know, we learned a few things that we would like to tweak along the way and change. But for the most part of it, the feedback was wonderful. So there, that's where the experience was born. And so we want to continue that with providing immersive learning. And at Smith Funeral Home in Knoxville, Tennessee, we are going to try something so different. So we are going to honor tradition and start with the typical traditional cemetery and funeral service and then open the doors to how you should make it a celebration of life. How you can use spaces that you have for maybe food and beverage. I mean, there is a lot to it, but instead of sitting in a classroom format and taking notes, you're going to immerse yourself and experience it. Walk a healing path, you know, do all these things. And I am excited because you know what? We do things. We have to take a chance. We have to take a risk because we do things the same way all the time. And, it's October 21st through 23rd and registration is open and we are super excited to bring this new experience format of learning to our attendee.
Mm-hmm. And so I just like, you know, Jimmy's thoughts on this idea of this experiential learning. So Jimmy, what are you thinking right now?
I like it. First of all, when I first got into the profession professionally, I grew up in it, but to wait on families, I was starving for beating myself, you know, how I could do better. And ICCF University is where I returned. So I go back to that Todd Van Beck, who was awesome. And then since then, our operations leader has gone through your whole learning
colleges, yes,
to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this past year, we've sent another one of our location leaders to your university. So I love ICCFA and y'all are on the cutting edge and keeping it willing to make changes and adjustments and to be different. And so, you know, I think you should try anything three times.
Yeah.
To quote Matt Bailey.
Yes. Well, hey, and Gary, I'm just curious what you learned in your 2 years as president. And I think you're still on the board. I'd love for you to share a little bit about you've learned about ICCFA and your journey.
Well, I became a huge advocate for it because, you know, I joined the profession at 43. I had a similar entree that Nadira did. I got a phone call from a recruiter, like, why the heck would you call me? But I got so much guidance and so much learning from the other people in the profession, both one-on-one, and I met a lot of those people through ICCFA. And I know we've talked about mentoring on the podcast in several different formats, but what I enjoy the most now is giving back. I'm the dean of the Leadership College, and I teach 13 or 14 hours of content down there every summer in a variety of different of the colleges, and I've gotten so much. I don't think there's any way I could ever give back what I received, but I'm doing my best to do that. And frankly, what I tell the students is I get as much out of doing that simply because I love their enthusiasm and their desire to learn and to get better. And then I get to read all the commentary about how much it helped them, or somebody will send me an email and say, hey, I took this idea back. Thank you so much. I got two or three thank you cards just from the one I just did in July. So I'm a big advocate of ICCFA, in particular the university. And then in the leadership position, frankly, it was weird, for lack of a better term, because normally you're there for 1 year, and Jay Dodds and I split 4 years because of COVID. So his second, I asked him to stay on because we didn't have a convention the first year of COVID. And then the second year we didn't have a convention again. So I ended up being president for 2 years until the convention started back up again. And it's wonderful. There's a lot of really good people on that board, Matt Bailey excluded, that really made a contribution, and it really is about how do we make the profession better, and how do we make the experience the families have better in as many different ways as we can. Most of it's through information sharing and educational type of things, but I think it's powerful. I think the university's the best learning educational experience in the profession. I haven't been to all of them, admittedly, but those 4 days are absolutely invaluable.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. I'd just like Nadira maybe to comment, because both Jimmy and Gary and have mentioned the university. And so why don't you explain the concept of ICCFA University, Nadira, and how that works and what you're trying to accomplish.
So it's as I'm sure that they shared with you, it's very different to the other programs that we provide, and it's formatted based on a university experience. And as sometimes we've found out, this is the only university and graduation some folks in this profession are able to attend. So it's very meaningful and very powerful. And it's 5 days. We are now housed at the Emory University Conference Center in Atlanta, really wonderful venue for us. And we have 9 colleges. Now it's grown to 9. Again, it started in the 1980s with the first college. It was Sales. And it grew from there. But it's hands-on learning, what you need. It's practical stuff that you can take when you leave that couple of days and implement immediately. And that's the key. So most tell us that mortuary school doesn't really prepare you for working in this profession or serving families. And so this is like the next step. And, yes. We have dedicated deans who give their time. Gary is one of them, and he's been involved with us for a long time. So we are very grateful for that. And for me, it is the best program we put together. I know that my team's going to wonder, why I said that. But they're each unique in its own way. But there's something about hanging out with these people for 5-6 days, playing trivia, and, having sports night. And so you make connections there that you can have, most of them turn into great friendships, and that lasts a lifetime. So it's like a lifeline that you have. If you have, in your day to day, if you experience some challenges, you know who to call. And that's another thing about this profession I have learned, is that you all are so willing to share and help each other out. That does not exist in many other professions. So I think that's what makes this experience so special. And if I had to pick one, that would be my number one, because it's a different pace, and you get to know people more. You spend a lot more time with them. You're not rushed, to just go in and get out. And it's those friendships and connections that you make that even for me is more important than the education you receive. And don't get me wrong, it's top of the line, because these guys are rocking it in their own spaces. But those people that you meet, that's what you have in your pocket as your lifeline always.
And Nadira, as we were discussing in prep for this time together, you mentioned the importance of friendships and mentorships in the profession. So what have mentors meant to you personally over the years?
Hey, mentors are the reason I'm here today and doing what I do. They believed in me. They have supported me. As I said to you, I started cleaning a database 29 years ago. And from there, I moved working many of the different positions within ICCFA. And finally, in 2011, I took over as executive director. So those friendships and mentorships, I have people I go to. And I'm going to say this, and I have 5 past presidents who are my lifelines, including the one who's sitting here today. So there are these 5 gentlemen. Yeah, look, Gary, look as far far as you want. But they are the folks that, you know, supported me, encouraged me to grow in this profession as a human being. And they're still there. They're just a text or a call away. And I am very grateful for the 5 of them.
Well, thanks for sharing that. So one thing you said, and I think I'd like to have this maybe be the final question here, but as we were wrapping up our call a few weeks ago, you said that you believed our profession should be very hopeful. And why did you say that?
I truly believe that. And I'll tell you why I said that. I know that a lot is changing and it's always going to change. Now we have AI, right? So we are embracing technology, new innovations, how you do things, how you serve the families will change. But honestly, this profession, you work from your heart. You must work from your heart because you're helping somebody at the worst time of their life. And it's the good people that give me hope. I have personally experienced, and I know a lot of, you know, I spend most of my time talking to members, board members, just regular folks that call the ICCFA just because they want to know about some legislation. Now it's all about tariffs. So we get so many calls all the time, but I listen. So I spend a lot of time talking to members, potential members, and I know there are good people serving this profession. And that's what gives me hope that you will show up for families at the worst time of their life and help them cope and get through it. And that's what's most important, because all this innovation, technology, yes, we will embrace all that. And how you serve those families will change. But the heart, the work is in your heart. And that's what I love about this profession.
Wow. I think, boy, great closing and final words for us, Nadira. So thank you so much for that.
Well said.
And I just want to say, I'm really, unfortunately, we've kind of come to the end of our time here. You know, I felt like we were just getting rolling. But I do want to thank you for making this happen. And I want to thank this panel for, and everyone, including Nadira, Matt, Jimmy, and Gary, and their commitment to this profession. All of you do such a great job to make sure that funeral service is doing its best to adapt and change as families are and their experiences are, they're expecting different experiences as we go forward. So I really, really I'm looking forward to talking with you after your fall conference to hear how your funeral experience training goes. So we'd love to have you back on the program at some point. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. You know, this is great. Appreciate you tuning in. And we'd love to hear feedback regarding the topics that we've discussed today or anything about the Graveyard Shift. So those go to thegraveyardshift@passari.com. And I'm going to encourage, I think this panel will be in full support of these words. We just ask a couple things. First, put something that you heard today into use, right? Try something and put it to use. And second, don't keep this podcast a secret. You know, with content like this, I think we are all doing just a little bit more to nudge this profession forward. And I just want to say thank you so much. Nadira, thank you. Thank you to this panel. And we'll see you all soon.